and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here
to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
This phenomenon that I've noticed over time, which is that I'll go through something that would be, you know, big for me. It might take, you know, weeks, months, or even years, and then kind of come out the other side, and then start all over again, back at the beginning. And it's funny what that it happens that way. And then the next time through, everybody does this, I imagine. But next time through, you know, it doesn't take as long. And then the time after that doesn't take as long, and then, you know, and then after a while it's happening really quickly. So I'm doing one of those right now where I looked at, when is this? This is winter, so it must have been summer.
It messes it up when you go to Zambia, doesn't it? It's really hot recently, so let's see.
So it must have been like summer, fall. Had one of those, really took a long time to get through this thing, and finally got through it. And was just so grateful for that, and while I was gone, I went to Zambia, also went and visited my mother, and had several things happen that were really kind of powerful for me, you know? And then came back, and then went right back and started over at square one in this process again, and it's been so interesting, because I've been back for about a week, and yesterday, I actually didn't realize that was going on. I thought I was just tired from the trip, but it has a depressed kind of a thing. And then yesterday, it started to break through a little bit, kind of like when it's been raining for a long time, and suddenly there's this like little blips of light that comes through, then close back up. And then this morning, I woke up in it, and I'm like, oh God, and then got up, and it just went away. For about an hour and a half, and my energy really moved, and I remembered who I was before I went on the trip, and then has slowly settled back down on top of it again. So that's what I'm looking at.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because at least I'm projecting that those, so you said there were little rays of sunlight, you know, you were using that metaphor, and then this morning a whole kind of hour and a half of it really clearing, it sounds like, and remembering who you were before the trip. And that those are the clues that help us see what's going on with us.
Yeah.
Because as you said before, just you were thinking, gosh, I'm, you know, just readjusting, I'm tired, whatever. And then to have those open moments, it's like, oh, those are nice contrasts to see, get a glimpse at what's really going on.
Yeah, it is tricky, or it has been tricky, because it's not like really bad or anything. Right. I mean, that would be, I would know, okay, there's something going on I need to look into here.
Yeah.
But it takes a physical manifestation, so it's hard to know, oh wait, there's something going on here that's really not physical. And one of the things, is, as you were speaking, I remember that I enjoyed about this is that I haven't felt the need to try to like make it go away or anything. There's just a trust that whatever this is will pass.
Yeah.
I really, really, really like that. And it's true, it's just, okay, there come the rays, and then it clouds back over, and this morning here comes the sunshine, and then it kind of starts to settle in. But I know then the next thing will happen where it will break apart even more, and break apart even more, and then almost really independently of me and anything that I'm attempting to do, this thing's going to resolve itself and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. And as you say, there's kind of a, as you were talking at first and describing how, you know, it took quite a while to go through it, that this last summer, fall, and it passed through, and then it passes through again, and it's more quickly. I was picturing kind of that cycle image that we sometimes look at. It's kind of a spiral, I guess, is the word.
Mm-hmm.
And that, the spiral is really big at the top, you know, real, like, maybe, you know, Galpos, you know. And now it's getting very, very, I mean, relative to Kalpas, which is, you know, that enormous space of time that Buddhists talk about that we can't even begin to fathom. And now it's down to hours, maybe even minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much, much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something really gratifying about that. It's relaxing that I really don't have to have any relationship with any of this at all. I was reading something recently, and this guy was talking about the difference between an Eastern, a typically Eastern and a Western way of looking at things. And a Western way is, you know, you're breaking things down, you're categorizing them, naming them, you're figuring them out, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what he was saying was that the Eastern approach is all about undoing that.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we do is attempting to get to like an intuitive mm-hmm. place rather than a rational place,
mm-hmm.
and a place of just seeing.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that what the Eastern people are going for is just, and we talk about it all the time, but observing what's happening without any kind of relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a knowledge that comes, or he was using the word knowledge, but you know, like a understanding that comes out of that,
mm-hmm.
that is the thing that we need in order to get where we're going.
Yeah.
And just that, and that's so, in terms of my experience, is really, really relaxing.
Yeah.
That I have to do nothing but just pay attention. And even that's too much saying, that's too much doing implied in that.
Yeah.
It's really just kind of happening all by itself.
Well, what you talked about, I really appreciated a few minutes ago, where you were saying there's just that, so the rays come through and then it closes over. And then the sun comes out and then it closes over. And there's just kind of that faith that, okay, this is just what it's doing. And that you don't have to, because to become someone to do something about that is just the next layer of digging into it,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of getting stuck in it. So to just know, partly I would project from your experience of seeing it happen, that it's just going to pass through in whatever way that it does, and you don't need to do anything about it.
Yeah, that's really true. Two things came up as you were saying that. One is, I think it really is from seeing it, because like when I look at the summer and the fall, I really felt like there's something physically going on with me.
Mm.
And I mean, there was, but as an effect, not as a cause.
Sure.
And then I had it's the same thing happened, but it was over a long period of time where like the little rays would come through and I would disidentify.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly my experience of my body would change and I would see, oh wait, no, this is not physical.
Yeah.
This is spiritual. And then it closed back over and I'd be, no, this is physical.
Oh, I'm definitely sick.
Yeah, definitely on it, eat something.
And
then it would open again and then I would remember. And then when it felt like passed, I felt like I really disidentified from that thing. And so it's like that experience can never be taken away. And so even when it feels like I'm kind of in that same place, that on some level there's an awareness that this has happened before and this is not real, even though I might not even be able to articulate that to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, if we go to the, you know, memories in the cells, pathways in the brain sort of stuff, that experience of what you had this last fall, and it sounds like you've had it any number of times, even before that too, that the memory of that's not who you are, that it passes through, is in the being
mm-hmm.
somewhere. You don't even have to try to go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, I wish that I knew more about the way Buddhists traditionally talk about that, because I know there's something they talk about, these different bodies, like the Buddha body, and the,
uh-huh.
and I think that's kind of what they're talking about. It's almost like there's a self that is getting created and filled in by these kinds of experiences that is different from the one that I call myself,
uh-huh.
but where I actually, even though it's in a way that I actually am learning to live from, and where the information is coming from,
yeah.
it's like that gets filled in, and there's like a somebody there who's gained this experience, and who actually even kind of gaining understanding,
mm-hmm.
But I don't. think of myself as that, so it's always surprising when that comes in and has and provides wisdom. I think this is part of what goes on in the tapes.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah,
the this wisdom is coming in from this other place that I don't think of as me because it's not rational and it doesn't have words and it's not thinking, and so it's like feels like it comes out of nowhere, even though all the time it's being created by the practice that I'm doing.
Right, right. And have you done some recording around all
Yeah, I have, and you know, actually in 3 or 4 different forms, and it's fun to listen to, and it's fun to be able to do that without trying to have that be a tool to make this thing go away.
Right, exactly. You know, I don't know about other people, but there's such you can feel that I can feel that in the recordings when there's kind of like, okay, here we go, we're going to record to make this go away. And you know, of course, that's never said. And then there's that place of recording just like, all right, this is interesting. Wow, let's talk about this. And something different happens in those recordings.
Well, and actually, I think the basic message of the mentor is everything's fine.
Exactly.
There's nothing about anything.
Exactly.
You know, all is well.
Exactly.
You know, even to, you know, I think there's another stepping back that would be good to happen where, you know, who says that not having this thing go on rather than having this thing go on is any better? It's all just, or it's like the weather that's going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's to have no relationship with it is just to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because this is what's going on. Instead of, okay, boy, this stinks because it's raining day after day. And
right. And to take it to the next level now, what did we do wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, we're really not doing something right because, wow, this is bad weather.
Look at what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Helpful.
I was doing a recording to make the weather go away.
And it wasn't working so well, was it?
No, so it's my fault. I really enjoy the way the conversation is going. Well, I just want to say that I too have this, you know, this pattern that has come about, and I love it because when I do the recording and I listen to it, what I always end up getting is it's like a shrugging of the shoulders. You know, it's very much like what was just said about, like, yeah, this is just part of it.
So shrugging the shoulders kind of in that way we talk about, whatever.
Yeah.
Not kind of a giving up, but just letting it go. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Who knows why this is here, but here it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. And in our meditations that we've been doing lately, you know, we're sitting.
We've been taking advantage of the bad weather.
Exactly.
And sitting more.
Yes. And just allowing things to settle in, because a lot of the time when there's movement that just keeps on moving, you know, I have this image of, like, you know, those around this time of year, you have these globes, you know, with the snow, and you shake it up, and all of a sudden, all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's almost like meditation is like setting the thing down and allowing the to do whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that too. It's I almost have this movement like this,
like your hands kind of moving out and down,
from the middle down. Yeah, just like it's kind of like the snow is just covering the landscape, and
everything's just settling and quieting.
And it's funny because when in those places it feels like there is movement, but at the same time there's a stillness in all of that. And in the stillness, there's a whole lot of movement too. Like when I just settle in, it's like things will start to move through in a way that they don't normally move through, as there's just activity going about.
So it's not that kind of life stops, that everything's still moving through, but in the stillness, in the quietness, it's allowed to kind of move through without something blocking it, or getting in a relationship with it that keeps it there, or...
Yeah, that's even, you just said blocking, because it's like, I get the image of, like, there's a light that pops through here, there's a light that pops through here, and there's just a popping happening as there's just sitting still with it. And things that I've not even considered before start to come through, and And they just settle in too. Mm. And it feels like this is a really big time, because what would normally happen is, just like what was like the rational mind is like, okay, now I've got to categorize it, you know, put it into this, like, where does this go? How does this fit in? What am I learning from it? What do I need to do about it?
So when you say in a time like this, like with something coming up,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh. So something's coming up, and normally there's kind of this, gotta categorize it, gotta know why is this
do something about
do
it.
Do something about it.
Just a literal, this is, it's funny because there'll be these experiences where they're on the other extreme, mm-hmm. the acceptable extreme,
right.
where that, you know, kind of movement around, seeing, yeah. oh, I see. We can do anything we want. There, right. all this is all made up, and right. there's this kind of joyful
yeah.
participation in knowing that I well, it's all just the voices that are. Without the voices, I would just be able to. And in this area, it feels like the other side of it, where right. the weather is whatever it is, and it's like I don't particularly like yeah. the fact that I'm not living up to
yeah.
the whatever that is on it. You know, the place where this first insight had come from,
uh-huh.
where it becomes the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know
right.
what I mean?
Yes, I do. Well, that it's plugged into a duality.
It is.
Even though I would project often on that acceptable side that there, when you're in that, there are times where it isn't within the duality.
It's just being there.
It's joyful. It's seeing things. It's possibility. But then
pop, pop,
pop, pop, pop. But then after the fact, conditioning wants to plug it into a duality.
It frames it.
That was good.
Right.
You were being the right person or whatever.
This is what we're going for.
This is what we're going yeah. for. Good job. You
uh-huh.
know, of course, probably after the fact, just setting it up so that now we've got the, no, that's yeah. not what's happening now, so.
Yeah, it's almost like that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now the reference point for your life. And we're in San Diego, and the sun
yeah.
shines.
And aren't we going to make you sorry that you ever had that experience?
Right.
Because if all we do is torture you with it,
mm-hmm.
then you're not going to want to have those experiences anymore.
Right.
Because they're just things to, you know, beat you with.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that what was happening now with the, you know, all the sitting and quieting down, there's a recognition. It's
yeah.
like the. There's that mentor just shrugging
yeah.
shrugging the shoulders, and
yeah.
it's like, wow, it really is the weather.
Yeah.
And it's, if life is just trying to tell me something,
yeah.
then I want to have my ears open for it and my
yeah.
eyes open for it.
Yeah. And to me, I don't know if this is what you're describing, but what the sitting provides is a recognition that that same suchness, that same goodness
mm-hmm.
that was so easy to see in the good side and the
yeah.
joyful
mm-hmm.
is there in all of it.
Yeah.
So when the snow settles, metaphorically, in the globe, we see the same thing, whether we're in that place of insight and love everything, or it's rainy and the weather's hard and
yeah.
whatever, but that same essential, whatever you want to call it,
exactly.
goodness is still there. It's the same ground all the time.
It is. It's all a part of it. There's nothing separate from it. I remember there was a discussion at one point where someone was describing something utterly beautiful, and then the conversation went to something that they'd seen off to the side that was kind of disgusting. And I remember the point of the thing was that, well, it's all part of it all. You can't have and
yeah.
so it just was very helpful in that
yeah.
metaphor to know that, gosh. That's what the shrugging of the shoulders is. It's
yeah.
like, it's just a realization that it's all part of it. To separate it all out is what that Western conditioning
exactly.
kind of thing
yeah.
is doing, where it's, this is here, that's there, they're not related. You
yeah.
need to get from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
And how you do that is you make everything else go away.
Yeah. Right. It's how conditioned mind can pull us into the conversation that will create the suffering.
Exactly. Yeah, and the meditation and the coming back to here is just allowing it all to settle
yeah.
and see.
Yeah, and the recording is what reminds us
yeah.
when we, because when we remember that, quick, we pick up the recorder, we talk about that,
mm-hmm.
and then when we don't remember, we pick up the recorder and we listen to it, and we're reminded.
Yeah, it's all beautiful. It's like just
yeah.
this one continuous thing.
Yeah. Okay. Amy.
It's interesting the into group today, thinking about what I've been going through as a big storm kind of passing through. Mm-hmm. And I've had a few cracks of light the past couple days. Mm-hmm. I'm not even really sure what to say about it, but just that it's just felt like a storm.
It's a huge storm passing through, yeah. A few cracks of light the last mm-hmm. few days.
Mm-hmm. And I think the sitting that we did yesterday was really helpful. I've been feeling a lot of strong emotions and anger and sadness and a whole mix of things. Mm-hmm. And
can I ask you something that occurred to me? Does it feel like you've had a raft going through the storm? You know what I mean by that?
Can you say more?
So, obviously, you're getting tossed and turned, you know, in the nature of a storm. There you are, you've got all the things coming through. You know, when you said the anger and the sadness, I thought of the wind and the rain and the lightning and the thunder, kind of all the things that happen. And if we're on a raft, on a ship, you know, then it's really difficult, but we've got something that's kind of protecting us, supporting us, being with us, carrying us through the storm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that you should say that. I had this dream recently where I was about to embark on this journey that I had decided I was going to sail out to sea on my bed.
Seems like a good idea in the dream.
And, I was going to get where I wanted to go on and just me against the sea on my bed. And then as I was about to sort of launch, it occurred to me that this wasn't going to sail very well. And that it was, and I had at the last minute started gathering all these supplies that I was thinking the last minute that I was going to need to have with me, like matches, but I had to put them in like a baggie so they didn't get wet. Really ridiculous things. And then Sherry came and saw that I was leaving, and she started taking all those things away from me. Mm. And then I realized that in this dream that I thought maybe this is a real crazy idea. Mm. And it's really just going to be me and the sea out there, so it's not going to do any good. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think I haven't trained mm-hmm. enough. Mm-hmm. Like I'm such a strong swimmer or all mm-hmm. these other things, but mm-hmm. what I think it was really just coming down to this training.
Mm-hmm.
And able to really say what I was seeing about this dream, but it felt really significant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if this is what you're looking at, but what I'm hearing in it is, so there are these really strong seas, and if you're going to go out there and be in it, because it is just what happens, you know, it's part of life, then you're going to need to know how to swim, you're going to need to know how to sail, you're going to need there all these things that just make good sense to have that kind of training. And I wonder if it feels like the recording has been support to you as you've gone through this one.
It has, and I've recorded a lot on there, and sometimes the mentor has something to say, and sometimes I felt like was really accessing the mentor. And sometimes I said what I thought the mentor would say, and then in listening back, it didn't really feel like the mentor.
So there have been times where, as you're talking, you're feeling like you're really, that the mentor is there and assisting you. Other times where it feels like, it's not really, it doesn't feel accessible.
It doesn't feel like
accessible.
Yeah. But it's felt helpful having that outlet.
Yeah, because to me, and actually I would love to open that up as a discussion for people, you know, kind of that place of what about when the mentor doesn't speak right up. But to me it goes back to the place we were looking at with Dave, that place of faith. That place of, all right, you know, I've been here before, here we are. You know, sort of that this too shall pass. I remember, I think it's in Trying to Be Human where Sherry talks about, there's a fabulous reading about being stuck. And sort of towards the end of it, one of the things she says is, and we learn that the most important lesson is this too shall pass. You know, so I'm not hearing the mentor right now, but I will, especially if I keep doing it. You know, because conditioning was to, well, if I'm not hearing the mentor, then I'm not going to do it anymore because I can't find the mentor, I don't have a mentor. But if we keep doing it, there it is. It becomes, it's like we train. You know, okay, so I don't know how to do this yet. Great, I'm going to keep practicing. I'm going to keep learning how to swim. I'm going to, you know, put on my life jacket for now, you know, as I learn, which to me is Sangha. You know, I come to group, I talk to other people, I, you know, turn on the recording, I do all the things that help me train for where I want to be, the life experience I want to have. Is there one? Cameron.
Yeah. So in the discussion about karma cycling around, I saw something about that, and all of the things that people said today was very, very helpful. And but we were asked recently in an email class if there was a belief that we had before we started doing the recording that we had seen through the recording. And I realized that a belief that I was carrying around was that after an experience, to use the metaphor that was used earlier, when the sunshine is out full and there's the openest heart I've ever felt, that and the experiences of something really, really big transforming, as opposed to just some opening to an experience. It's like, you know, so there's, I realized when the thing would cycle back around, the belief would be either that that's who I really am, the karma, or that I had not done something enough, you know? Yeah. So instead of, it would suck me back into believing it as opposed to remembering what wasn't that.
God, it's so perfect. Such a good strategy on its part.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Because if it is this spiral, then each time we come back to it, it's got to come up with something even better to really get you hooked. Because if we really saw it as a spiral, if we really got it that it was a spiral, it almost would be like, okay, great, oh, great, all right, here this is again, because, you know, I get to see through it again.
Exactly.
But it, what it does, it's so exactly my experience too, what you're saying, is talk you even more into it, or try to.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I mean, you had seen through this.
You've already seen through this.
You've already seen through this, so this is really bad news.
Yeah.
That you're back at this point.
Yeah, not that it's back, but that you're believing it.
That you're believing it.
Yeah.
That's so hard.
Mm-hmm. So what I saw now with the mentor is a shift, and it's one that I have to really, that practical require practice, because it's mm-hmm. amazing to me. It just, I had the most amazing opening at the workshop, the Real Comfort one.
In Mountain View. Yeah.
In Mountain View. Mm-hmm. Within 48 hours, mm-hmm. I was deep mm-hmm. into believing something really self-hating kind of thing. And it was like, I mean, I was just standing back there going, how in the world did this have happened?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Amazing. Yeah. Not just seeing it try, but so what I realized is that the person who was, I mean, the experience of being open doesn't mean that that person who believes that bit of karma is not still there.
Yes.
And she, he, whoever it is, believes it.
Yes.
So what I see my practice is when it comes around, is to realize it's not a failure. It's now an opportunity for me to be there with the mentor to bring that person who believes it into an experience of acceptance and love.
Yeah.
Because that person never felt accepted or loved because they believe that and they are wrong, bad, stinko person for taking us down this path into that spiral.
Right. And in fact, what it can do, I was just seeing in what you were saying, is it can take us to that place of pure gratitude for that for that part, because what it requires of us is we have to always be awake.
Yeah.
We have to always be awake. We can't have that transformative, open experience.
Yeah, that's all I want.
And then, great, thanks for that. Now we're just going to go on with our lives.
Yeah.
Because that's wonderful and fabulous, and, you know, who doesn't love that? But what we're going for is simply being awake all the time.
Yeah.
And that person who every time that comes up is going to need that attention. It's going to require us to be awake. And what a glorious thing to be required to be awake, because that's what we want.
Right. Awake and accepting and kind and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in that, the only place that that person is going to be met with that kindness and compassion and all the things that she wants and needs and deserves is in that awake place.
Right.
Yep. That's the only
conscious
place.
Yeah. And what the question was in the last sharing was, you know, about what happens when the mentor doesn't show up.
Yeah.
It requires the same thing. You know, when I was in that really deep 48 hours later, I was like desperate, you know, now I had a mentor. Mentor, help me, help me. And there was like nothing.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, I had to get to a place.
Yeah.
And so one of the techniques that she used, I mean, it just amazes me. She said, well, would you like to try a little reflection?
Mm.
And so she just reflected the person who was identified.
Mm.
The person identified was like seeing all kinds of things because she was hearing herself then, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
And so, you know, the mentor would talk and then somebody would push the thing off and then the identified person would talk and she would push it off. And this went back and forth until the identified person got to a point of seeing something that was really important and kind of made a commitment, and it was you know, I mean, it's not done, I don't mean done, but the person who felt she wasn't adequate to the experience got to see her way through it.
Yeah. And what's so amazing about it is, on top of that, you also got a stronger experience of how to access the mentor all the time, because there are going to be times where it's not there. I mean, when you were talking, I was getting such a clear image. It's just exactly like talking to a loved one who is in an incredibly, let's say, identified, difficult place, right? And I could be in the most loving, compassionate, open, wanting everything for them place, but they can't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like that reflection is brilliant because in that, I just, as that, you know, I love this person completely and I can see that they can't hear me, so let's just begin. So it's not going to do any good for me to say, you're perfect exactly the way you are, because they can't hear me.
Exactly.
So we just begin with simple reflection.
That's exactly what happened too, because there was no judgment coming from this person, and that the reflection kind of heard, you know, sharing the same body, heard a little bit beneath the surface of the words, and brought a little bit fuller understanding to the reflection, and the person would, it was just, oh, it was just marvelous. Yeah. And there was another thing, another technique that that I experienced when I couldn't access the mentor, but I'm not thinking of it right now, but if I do, I'll
put your hands up.
Remember.
Thank you, Cameron.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As Cameron was talking, I just had this other weather metaphor come through that really seems so in what I've been seeing lately, which is just that, you know, above whatever weather is going on, the sun is shining. You know, I mean, up there, it's
it's high enough up there.
That's right. Yeah. And what I just had a, you know, one of those great moments of revelation a couple of days ago, which, you know, some in retrospect initially wants to say, well, I mean, you just saw that, but.
Yes, thank you. It was glorious.
Which was really that part about the sun always shining. That, you know, when this being is fine, when there's not anything going on about here, then everything is fine. You know,
and that's just what's so.
Right.
It's just the way that it works.
That's just the
whether
way
we like it, accept it, you know, fight against it. What it's just the way that it works.
Right. Right. And then I said. And then I said, oh, that's projection, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, well, I know I get projection, but I think I'd always just kind of gotten it on a on a sort of a particular instance kind of thing, like, oh, if I'm seeing that in that person, then it must be in me.
Yeah.
But I just saw it on this whole global thing, you know, that what I am being is okay, then I'm projecting okay everywhere.
The glasses I have on are what I, so if I have okay glasses on, everything is okay.
The
same way that if I had pink glasses on, everything would be pink.
That's right. Right. Yeah. And then so I said, so, you know, it's really helpful then. So if I'm seeing not okay, then I can look back here. And not only here, I can look here because if this is not okay, someone out here is making this not okay.
So when you're doing the motion of listening to the voices, you can look back here. What am I being told?
Right.
What's creating this experience?
So it's just been a really helpful thing to have that memory. So so in terms of my analogy that I come up with, so the sun's always shining, and sometimes clouds pass over the sun, and it feels not so quite so bright anymore. And sometimes a major storm moves in for days, and it feels like it's never going to end. But it's still
always there.
But it's still always there. Yeah, and I just, you know, I think it's all the work we've been doing that makes that so available. And I find sometimes now when I'm recording that in a way that the mentor shows up, but not as a, you know, there in the beginning there was a different shift. So, okay, here I am, I've got this going on, and then he or she would speak.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like I start talking as the one that's got something going on. And then I'm still talking, but I'm no longer the person of the one that's something going on.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just kind of like
we're all
just,
in this together. It's a
who's
who, and boy, the wisdom is just flying. And
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Linda.
That's neat because it describes an experience that I had yesterday where I had an errand to run, and something happened just before setting off on the errand that all kinds of stuff came up about it. I thought I was being accused of doing something wrong. That was the person who got triggered, was all triggered. So even though there was a moderate amount of resistance as I was driving to my errand, I got the recorder out and started just talking the whole thing from the identity.
Yeah.
And I had that experience of as I was talking, I think at some point there was some kind of the identified one said something like, you know, I don't want to die feeling like this. And the shift was when the mentor said, well, let's go out with a smile if we're going. And it was a complete, yeah. It was a complete shift. And then I got where I was going, did the errand, discovered I had in fact done something wrong, completely unrelated to earlier. So started driving back and talking about that and realizing that what had happened was clearly that all of the before I left was what had gotten between me and clarity and not what, but it was, you know, that starting it on the way back right after discovering I'd done this thing that was not skillful, there wasn't any room for self-hate.
Yeah.
So there was room for the wisdom, the mentor, the clarity, to be there. This is, it's so clear what happened. And this probably happens, I'm sure it does, time after time after time after time, when there's getting caught up in something that then is total fog between me and clarity.
Yeah, gosh, it's such a great point that we get talked into a conversation and we feel like it's me, you know, because in the case you're talking about, it felt like I'm being accused of something, and so we get into that conversation, and the way you lay it out, it's very clear that the purpose of that conversation is to create suffering for that person. You know, it feels like I want to have this conversation, or, you know, I'm in some way, I'm, you know, participating in this conversation, and yet the whole time it's backing you into a place where it's hijacked your attention.
Yes.
And so it's headed you towards some other, you know, unskillfulness, or even at very least pulling you out of the present moment. And in the present moment is the only place where you're going to experience yourself in the way that you want to experience yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sooner, what I get from what happened yesterday is the sooner I pick up the recorder, the better the chances are of, look, the sooner then I can see through whatever's happening and perhaps be in the moment so that what needs to come in will come in.
Yeah, yeah. Because it wants to snowball with, then it could pull you out of the moment with that. Oh, well, see, I mean, you were just in that conversation, and so that's why, and now you're in this conversation, right? Yeah. And then something else happens, and then you're in that. But every time you realize it, that's your opportunity. Good, great, done.
Yeah, and I think at the end of it, what the mentor was suggesting was, well, you know, what we can do is whenever we're setting out to do something, anything, let's just stop and see, you know, essentially, let's come back to the moment and kind of get here.
The get quiet, get still thing that was being talked about earlier. Let the snow settle for a minute and see if there's anything we see.
Yeah, yeah, allow some space to be there so that what needs to be seen can be seen.
Yeah. Michael.
There have been a million things come through to talk about, and what's happening now is I'm having a heck of a time concentrating on the conversation.
Because you're trying to track all these different threads of...
Yeah, and decide what to say, because lots of people keep getting called on before me. and I'm looking at that as the thing that happens in meditation as being no different, which... I get little glimpses of is no different from what's been happening my entire life, which is just that something is really compelling and grabs my attention, and that's where my attention is, instead of the breath, instead of with the conversation, and lately in meditation, some more of the time than has been the case previously, I've been going, well, that was an interesting 30 minutes. or coming back at some point in the meditation and just going, well, I was gone and I'm here now.
Yeah.
And instead of going to despair or getting a beating about it.
It's much like we were just talking about in that last conversation, isn't it? That it just wants to keep layering on top of that suffering and the despair. Mm-hmm. But when what you're doing is realizing every time I realize that, that's I can come back and start fresh right here in this moment.
Yeah, and then there is no the past 30 minutes.
Exactly.
which is so incredible.
It is.
Because it, I think, I believe that I need to do something, I need to figure it out, I need to change the fact that it happened. There's a whole list of things. And really, the just one moment of being present, or one moment of acceptance,
yes,
erases all the other moments.
Yeah, because whatever's happening in this moment is the thing that I have. It's my life experience. It's what I'm practicing. So if I'm practicing acceptance in this moment, that is my entire life experience.
Yeah, exactly. Which is great in those moments.
Right.
And then there are those other moments where that's where the but every once in a while I get to see that those moments are okay too.
Yeah, well, and don't forget where you're going, but it explains a lot about why when we're identified, it feels like that's everything. Like, it's always the despair, at least for me, that's a perfect one. It's always been this way, it's always going to be this way, there's no way. Because right. I can only have this one experience that I'm having in this moment. If it's despair, then it feels like that's everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And, I think the mentoring work that we're doing has been powerful because it helps me to, I love the exercise of returning to a traumatic experience, mm-hmm. because then what I get to do is be in the experience with the ability to see that there's nothing wrong with that experience.
Yeah.
So the moment in which I'm experiencing despair is actually no different from the moment in which I'm experiencing acceptance.
Yeah.
Nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
And then the next time despair comes around,
yeah.
I can touch into that. Mm. It's kind of like what we were talking about before. Like, I know, okay, I know. This is... I've been through this, and I can touch on that experience of being with the person who's in despair and mentoring that person.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Yeah,
it doesn't have the same power.
It doesn't. No, because what you're describing is you're bringing awareness to it. So when the trauma first happened, there was not the awareness surrounding it, or at least you weren't identifying with the awareness. Let's say that. And so then you go back and practice being in that same scenario, all that stuff's going on, but identifying with the awareness instead of with the despair in this case.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the person who's experiencing despair is now experiencing acceptance.
Yes.
And love.
Yes.
And it's no longer... it just came through. It's... despair is it's no longer so bad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what can be so bad about anything
yes.
if I'm receiving acceptance and
yes.
love?
Which is a huge step towards freedom. Because mm-hmm. there's that place that, you know, people have been alluding to where, oh good, I'm in the expansive, transformational side of things. Yay, I really don't want to go back to that despair place.
Right.
But when we get to the place of being in the despair place enough and practicing being identified with the awareness in it, then we don't have to be afraid of going there, afraid of that spiral in the back, because we know that's okay. Mm-hmm. I know what to do there. You know, I'm okay in that place. I don't have to avoid that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then there's not a constant stress.
Yeah.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I can walk from place A, point A to point B.
Yeah.
I can walk to the outhouse without stressing over what's going to hit me.
Yeah.
Because
I'm adequate to it.
Yeah.
I could really relate to that, trying to maintain all of the things that I want to share,
mm-hmm.
Through all the shares and all the little gems of wisdom that
it's kind of like walking along with all the details of life, trying to remember them all day long, you know, so I don't forget anything instead of just letting it go.
Figuring it's all going to work out.
So I'm going to work out somehow.
Because that's what I really want, right? Is that experience. Why do I hang on to all these little insights? So that I can let go. Relax, right? So
I
got to
hang on to them. I got to hang on to them. So like, yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So among some of the things that come up is I can relate to the workshop experience of the next day. It felt like I took that workshop 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I did some recording and I was just talking in the recorder going, wow, I was at that workshop yesterday and today I'm feeling so identified. Mm-hmm. And I have on my recorder, I think something Sherry did, that something Sherry said about moments of expansion are not followed by unhappiness. They're followed by all the parts of ourselves rising that still need to be. Mm-hmm. And I find that really helpful. It really shifts it from, oh God, I don't want another period of expansiousness because I can't take the downside, to like, wow, wonder who's there that still, you know, needs to be embraced.
And I, gosh, I really care for them. And so if this is the opening they need to be invited in, then it really would shift it.
Really And going back to the thing about what happens when you talk with a mentor and there's no one there, of course conditioning wants to always like, just, okay, this time there's not going to be anybody there and it's going to, undermine the whole thing. And
that's really significant. That's really significant that it's trying to scare you almost. Yeah. This time, it worked all those other times, but it's not going to work this time. So almost like building up I hear a performance anxiety.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and that's what it comes to. And,
which is a perfect way to block from
whatever.
Your mentor. Yeah.
And what I have found that completely works with that, and I've been surprised because I have been at that place of performance anxiety, mm-hmm. and like, oh God, there is, they're right, it's not working, nothing's coming through. And what has happened is just the mentor has said, okay, let's just breathe together. Mm. And then she says, I love you. Mm. And let's just breathe. And I'm shocked that just, I can just like, okay, if nothing comes through, if all I get is breathing and I love you, that's pretty darn good. And what happens then, though, it's usually the dam opens.
Yeah. Because again, what I hear in that is that the person, because the mentor, we can guess, it sure seems like it from what everyone says, is always there.
Yeah.
It's just that something gets in between that. And so that breathe, let's just breathe, is the mentor knowing, there's no access to me right now, so let's just be with her. And then as that happens, there's kind of that snow settling, right? There's that quiet settles in, and then the mentors can be there again.
I have a few experiences that on my recorder, and that reinforces that, process.
Yes, it
does. You can count on her.
Yeah. It's funny, it reminds me, I was recording recently, and I had that experience of saying, all right, is that true, mentor? here's what conditioning says. Could someone help me out? And there was this quiet, and kind of this pause, and I just sat. And then the mentor came in and said, okay, first of all, that is so great that you were willing to just sit there and be quiet. Mm. And not think that it was that, oh God, that something's wrong here, mentor's not coming in. And it's that same sort of, this is okay. The mentor will be here. Let's just sit quietly, let's reflect, as Cameron was saying, just be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I had something happen this morning, which I totally love. It's just one of those, I'm listening to the recorder and I don't know how to explain this. Something the mentor said to me just comes in, and it's at the moment that I need to hear it. Something is going on in the present moment that I need to hear that thing that the mentor had said to me that's on the recorder. It's like,
whoa.
Like suddenly she's, the mentor is right there saying that thing in present time.
Yeah.
And it's,
Yeah. It's like, I remember Sherry saying to someone in a group recently, you know, it could make a person religious. Yeah. That kind of the right recording shows up at the right time. You made the recording 3 weeks ago, but there it is in the present moment when you need it. Yeah. It's the one you're listening to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just really kind of interesting.
Penny.
One of the things that's been coming up throughout the group, that came up in response to the first thing that was said, but all through the group was, since I have it, I find it helpful to think of myself as kind of a venue mm-hmm. where things just happen, uh-huh. you know?
Yeah.
And,
it's a stage.
Yeah, and it's linking to the notion of, from quantum physics, you know, about how, for example, even thoughts just are.
Yeah.
They're just out there.
Yeah.
Everywhere at once.
Yeah.
And so even a thought that I have is really just passing through.
Yeah.
And it feels like in our whole conversation we're talking about that. So, you know, this comes up now or that comes up now or this. Yeah. And I think it's solid. I'm solid.
Yeah.
I have boundaries and this is me and this is... Yeah. And what I was just hearing in all the conversation is that we're more than fluid, we're gaseous. and things are just floating by and floating through, and I keep thinking, I mean, what conditioning, it feels like conditioning's job is to trap them. Mm. And then say, well, this is, okay, here we are.
Yeah.
And when I taught history, there's a form of teaching history, it's called post-hole, where you say, we're going to study this event. Uh-huh. It's like that. It's like conditioning plants its flag and says, okay, uh-huh. this is what's real, this is what's going on, this is who we are. Uh-huh. And what I'm just hearing as we talk is none of that's true. You know, it just feels like we are a place where it is all happening. Mm-hmm. And what we're invited to do is notice.
Yeah.
And
that's the big challenge.
And sort of calcify around it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like was being talked about in the stillness and the quietness. It's, for whatever reason, it's that incredibly difficult skill. I mean, when we see it and we're doing it, it's so obvious and so simple. And yet so often, there's just some relationship that we have with it. When you were saying that it's all just passing through and the thoughts are just out there, I just had this image of, you know, we each have our karmic radio station.
Oh, absolutely.
And those are the ones, because why do these thoughts keep coming through this head? Well, those are the ones that get picked up by the radio station, you know, through this karmic filter.
Yeah, it's that mystery of, you know, there really is someone here, it seems like. Uh-huh. There is a being, and yet, not really.
Exactly.
But I don't have any solution to that dilemma. I mean, it's true, certain things pass through me that get stuck there, but then something that passed through over here gets stuck in me, and why? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just feels like that part of what we're learning through this is that's all that's happening, mm-hmm. you know, and that none of it is really permanent or real, or and that we're, you know, it's making sense to me of when in Zen when they talk about in a sense just getting out of the way, rather than you know setting up these blocks and these stations and these barricades and these that try to make me and hold whatever's going through, hold it in place.
Yeah.
That's where the pain is. That's where the mm-hmm. suffering is, mm-hmm. and whatever it is, mm-hmm. and that the suffering. You know what conditioning would tell us is the suffering is in the content.
Right.
But what I'm hearing more and more is the suffering is in trying to hold on to anything.
Mm-hmm. The suffering is when it comes through and I have a relationship with it and it gets stuck. Mm-hmm. Hanging on to it. Yeah.
Yeah. That when it just can blow through, mm-hmm. it can be powerful and stormy, mm-hmm. but it doesn't necessarily have to hurt.
Well, and you know that image of like when there's a big storm, you open everything up. You know, to let it all blow through instead of if you close everything down, then the whole thing gets tossed and turned
into a window apartment.
But, you know, just open it up and let it blow through.
Yeah. And so often I don't experience that. I mean, so often I'm stuck, you know, around one of those mm-hmm. military posts. And it's just so helpful to be reminded to just that it's all of that is illusion,
yeah.
And all the fluidity and the motion, all that is, as far as I can tell, is what's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Susan.
So I just wanted to report that the resistance of the recording broke. It's not that I'm in bliss about the recording.
Oh, no.
I have to say.
Okay, don't anyone think that.
Don't ever think that. I keep in court. But I did have this thing happen with the mentor. She said, I was recording, you know, this is a bunch of, you know, just what you guys told me to do. And somebody came in and said, we do this because Sherry asked us to do it.
Yeah.
And you are a student of Zen.
Yeah.
And it was really helpful.
Yeah.
Because I thought somebody would come in and just reflect, oh yeah, this is a bunch of hooey. We've done this for 18 years. We thought a lot of things that she asked us to do were crazy.
Yeah.
This is no different.
Yeah.
We do it anyway. So that whole process of just doing it anyway is what has saved my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much it's the staying. You know, I've seen people come and go, bless their hearts, and I'm grateful that I have stayed. And I am inspired by all the monks who stay because I know what it is to almost leave.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody does.
Oh, yeah.
And so just grateful to myself for being willing to do it. So that was one thing I was looking at. And so one of the things on my recording is the sitting still, you know, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll listen to some of the recent things, but for whatever reason, my thumb always goes back to that. But the thing I've been thinking or looking at is one of the things in there is that it says, you know, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really helpful moving into the storm. Because I too, you know, when everybody's talking about it, certainly my experience later, and I also am so grateful that one benefit of staying is that we know it's going to pass. Over time, it's just passed so many times.
It can't be there.
You can't even believe that anymore.
We watch each other go through it.
Exactly.
Go through it. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to pass. And so I was thinking about that yesterday and today because I actually had a period of sunshine. And then for whatever reason, and projection's really good because, you know, I can think, oh man, you know, look at him, you know, or them or whatever. But just moving into it, this is it. You know, I'm not going somewhere other than now.
Yeah.
This is what is here.
Yeah.
You know, I just, and I like the thing what someone said about the recording, watching myself record to get rid of it versus to move into it and to sit with it. And then I was thinking about kids in a storm. Mm-hmm. You know, being out in a storm is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you guys know that experience, but, you know, it's fun. We're running through the, you know, sticking our tongues out, splashing in puddles. You know, it's super fun. Now, my kids don't like lightning and thunder. They draw the line at that. But this kind of thing, you know, there's a moving into it and a feeling it and a tasting it.
Yeah.
And then there's so much joy in it.
Yeah.
And the thing that used to be hanging there about moving into the darkness, Sister Terry, it's something I just want to really remember because that it's just for me so, it's like a relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I tense up against the storm, or I try to get through it, or, you know, get the windshield wipers to be more, you know.
But it's perfectly fine.
This is it.
This storm. This is the thing that's here right now. And so that's the thing that I'm going to be with in whatever way I'm going to be with it.
And I was watching when I was sitting a lot of, like I watched it break, and then I got attached to it breaking.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it came right back. And I thought, I just watch.
Yep,
you know, just watch. Wow, you know, there it is. Ah. And then I want, and then, you know, my body clenches up again. And so it's so helpful to come.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yep. Yeah. Showing up.
Showing up.
Yeah. Thing.
Thanks.
Thank you all.